It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante. I am with Ross Tucker, and it's time for Ask Ross. Whoever gets the best question, we're going to be sending out a KSN polo shirt. So, Ross, let's get going so we can get to as many questions as possible. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's do this. Let's start with David in Lakewood Ranch, Florida. We all remember how upset Dabo Sweeney got when people used the term Clemsoning. I recently heard a podcast where the host used the term Utah-ing. I'm not sure what that one is, but his question is, if it were up to you, how would you define it if someone said that a team was Penn State-ing?
Ooh, that's a really good question, David. Well, first of all, I've never heard that. I've never heard, you know, Penn State-ing. And I guess what that would mean to me right now would be blowing it against Ohio State. In all sincerity, I mean, You go back to the, 3 years ago, Saquon's final year there, and when they played at Ohio State and they were up by whatever it was, 17 in the fourth quarter or whatever. Then the next year in the whiteout game when, you know, they had the lead again and control of the game again. And Franklin famously said, you know, we're a great team. We're not an elite team. And then last year even, you know, they got behind. They it was a little bit different because they were able to come back and made a valiant comeback at it, even though they were a little bit undermanned and Clifford got hurt. But still not able to close it out, even though they had opportunities after that. So for me right now, Penn State-ing is not being able to take down the Buckeyes, even when you have a golden opportunity to do so. You know, to get where they want to get and to get the recruits they want to get, You really have to win one of those games.
Yep.
And so now, you know, if it's coming down to Ohio State and Penn State for you and you're a recruit, maybe a junior in high school, the 3 years you've watched it, right? The freshman, sophomore, Ohio State always wins. Ohio State wins each time. No matter what happens, Ohio State finds a way to win. So that's what I would call Penn State-ing right now, is blowing a late lead or blowing the game late against Ohio State.
That's the unfortunate news. The good news is Dabo did get over that Clemsoning comment, so there's hope for Penn State. All right, let's go to Chris in Burbank. Chris asks, and he gives about four different scenarios where Penn State gets one more score and actually beats Minnesota. His question is, if that were to happen, would Kirk Shiraka still be Penn State's new offensive coordinator? And he adds in, I love the hire, by the way. So he's not dissing Kirk Shiraka.
I think there's still a very good chance. Yeah. I think even if Penn State wins that game, I think Franklin comes away impressed with Shiraka's body of work throughout his career and certainly last season. And, you know, in that game, even if Minnesota didn't win that game, I think Franklin still is impressed by what Shiraka did with, frankly, inferior talent to what Penn State has. And Shiraka being from the mid-state, from central Pennsylvania, being able to come back home, I think he's still very high on Franklin's list. I don't know if that means they, you know, he definitely would have been the guy, but I think he still would have very much been in the mix, yeah.
Yeah, I think even if Penn State had found a way to win the game, it doesn't take away what Shiraka did with Minnesota on that day. All right, next up is my buddy Nick from Berwick. He says, I know Nolan Rucci is the best chance Penn State has to get a five-star on the board, but in your opinion, if you had to choose a position besides quarterback to get a five-star kid, what position would you like to see land that kind of prospect?
Oh, that's easy. Jim, do you want to guess?
Defensive tackle.
Yep. D-line, whether it's D-end or D-tackle, defensive line for sure, but in particular defensive tackle. Yeah, I mean, those guys are just such game wreckers and difference makers. And I think you could say D-end too when you think about Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa and Chase Young and all the studs that Ohio State has trotted out there in recent years. But especially if you get one of these D tackles that just lives in the backfield, controls the running game, pressuring the quarterback up the middle, you get a five-star D tackle. That to me after quarterback is the next best thing.
And if you notice, I always advocate the elite teams have the big five-star quarterback. They also have those five-star defensive linemen, too. All right, I'm going to do like we did last week, Ross. I'm going to combine two questions. This is Andy from Falls Church and Mike from Bradenton, Florida, because their questions are related. Andy asks, if both college and NFL seasons are canceled for 2020, should the NFL skip the 2021 draft? And Mike from Bradenton says, if the season's canceled, will Parsons, Freiermuth, and Journey Brown be eligible for the draft in 2021? I guess the overall question is, if they don't play this year, what happens to the 2021 draft?
Yeah, so they're going to have a 2021 draft. And guys like Micah Parsons and Freiermuth are going to be eligible for it because they are going to be 3 years removed from their high school graduating class. And I would expect them to enter the draft. Where it really gets unique, Jim, is, you know, I'm hearing more and more talk from different people I speak with about the football season being in the second semester academic calendar, with the thought process being that you can't really have the guys playing football if the students aren't back on campus. And so if the students aren't back on campus for the first semester, and we should probably find that out in the next month to 2 months, they'll make that decision, then I don't think they're going to have college football in the fall if the students aren't scheduled to be back on campus in the fall. Which means that, but they really want to have college football because of the revenue. So I think that they would find a way to have it the second semester on the academic calendar, meaning start practice January 6th or whatever, and start the season, you know, maybe late January or early February, maybe the week after the Super Bowl, have a college football season, which is kind of crazy to think about it. What then becomes unique is what happens to the NFL draft. Do they delay it or do they hold it when they normally would? And if they hold it when they normally would, are all these guys like Micah Parsons or Pat Freiermuth, do they choose to play the college football season? When is the college draft process, the combine, the pro days, those type of things? These are all very much unknowns. Nobody knows. The only thing I know for sure is they seem fully intent on having a college football season at some point. And the NFL is going to have a 2021 draft. They have to. And the players that the emailers mentioned are going to be eligible. And I would expect Micah and Freiermuth especially to enter that draft.
Well, and you know, on a lot of these situations, Ross, the answers often follow the money. I believe the college football, they'll present it as we're looking out for the student athletes. I wonder if part of the decision might be if the preference is playing in the fall with no crowd or the spring with a paying crowd, the spring might be more attractive. But the other, some of the unintended consequences are, number one, like you said about these players, do you play your senior year if it's in the spring when the instead of getting ready for the draft? Or even if you're Trevor Lawrence, do you risk an injury? Hey, the draft is coming up. My NFL career is at stake. And the other, and this is maybe a little thing, but one of the things they've talked about with Beaver Stadium for years is it's not good. It's not winterized. They haven't used it like for one of those hockey games that around New Year's because they it's not able to be used in the winter. So there's a lot of other things that come up if they intend to play in the spring. All right, another question. This one's from Mike in Haverford, and I'll try to condense it. But essentially he's saying during the last 5 years, Penn State's able to dominate a certain number of teams, and they struggle to beat other teams. Obviously, those are the better teams, your Ohio State's, Michigan State. But his question is, do they struggle when your opponents are stronger and equal or better athletes, or do the coaches get conservative when they play some of those teams?
Well, I mean, first of all, those are really good teams, right? So Ohio State recruits at a better level than Penn State. Michigan recruits at a comparable level to Penn State. Michigan State does not. They've had Penn State's number over the years. For whatever reason, they just do an outstanding job of evaluating and developing their players. I don't know. I guess you could look at the end of some of those losses and say that Penn State got conservative, but that seems to me to be something that people say after the fact when they have access to the results, right? Like, nobody talks about how they got conservative when they are able to conserve a win by running out the clock and playing the percentage game. And if it went the other way, and at times I feel like Penn State hasn't used as much clock as they should have, hasn't been as conservative as they should be in certain situations. Even I think you could argue in the bowl game, the Cotton Bowl against Memphis. So I don't think that they get conservative. I think that that's more or less what people think after the fact. Once Penn State loses, that's what they say. Oh, they got too conservative. You know, if you get aggressive and you throw a pick six and you lose that way, that to me is much, much worse. Good questions, though. A lot of good questions this week.
All right. We are going to select a winner, and we definitely will announce it in quarter number four when Andy and Bob make their way back into the studio. Thanks, Ross.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.
So, what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma. Or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.